To the physicians at Mission Hospital, part of St. Joseph Health System, even the smallest, most ordinary moments are sacred. It's time now for Mission Radio. Here's Melanie Cole.
Urinary incontinence, the loss of bladder control, is a common and often embarrassing problem. People don't always like to even mention it, much less seek treatment for it. My guest is Dr. Ted Benderev. He is board-certified urologist with Mission Hospital. He is also a board subspecialty in female pelvic medicine and reconstructive surgery. Welcome to the show, Dr. Benderev. Speak about urinary incontinence. Is this something that men or women are more likely to experience?
Well, thank you, Melanie, for having me. Yes, it's a problem that occurs both in men and women, generally of a different type of problem. The causes are different. Women are more likely to have urinary incontinence because they have a much shorter urethra. It's more difficult for the bladder to retain the urine. So we see that problem of overactive bladder in women. And also there's overactive bladder in men when their prostate is enlarged and blocks the urinary passageway. That overactivity leads to uninhibited contractions of the bladder, causing the urine to flow out.
Okay, so, you know, people are very, very embarrassed about this situation. You know, maybe they laugh, maybe they cough, something like that happens. It's pretty common condition. So let's start with risk factors, please, Dr. Benderev. What would preclude somebody to having urinary incontinence?
Well, in men, it generally follows radical prostatectomy. That is the surgery for prostate cancer. And during the course of that surgery, the sphincter may not function as well afterwards, allowing the urine to flow out. We talked a little bit about the fact in men who have a large prostate, the bladder can be blocked and cause the bladder to have these contractions that push the urine out. In other words, the man cannot make it to the bathroom in time. And relieving that blockage can actually relieve the urinary incontinence. In women, it's a different thing. In women, there are two main causes of urinary leakage. One is a problem with the sphincter, where the sphincter cannot hold the urine in. And that's the type of leakage that occurs with activity. We call that stress incontinence. So if the woman coughs or sneezes or laughs, urine will spurt out. The nice thing about that is that's probably the easiest type of urinary leakage to take care of. Generally, if we resupport the urethral sphincter in the female, that will take care of the problem. And there are conservative ways of taking care of that as well, where they can just do pelvic muscle exercises, better known as Kegel exercise. And many times that will help to strengthen the sphincter. That's the stress incontinence. The other type of urinary leakage in women is called urgency urinary incontinence. Again, that's the overactive bladder. Many times in women, we don't have a reason for that. We're not sure exactly why that occurs, but for some reason, the bladder just becomes overactive, and before the woman can make it to the bathroom, she will leak urine. That's why we call it urgency incontinence.
Okay, so you've got stress incontinence, urgency incontinence. Pregnancy, is that something that, you know, is a precursor to? I mean, I found in a lot of the women that I know in my age group, Dr. Benderev, that after you had a baby, it just sort of changes then.
Yes, that's a very good point. With the stress incontinence, that is usually the predisposing factor. With the baby passing through the vaginal canal, the tissues can stretch in that area. And the urethra, the tube from the bladder to the outside, will loosen and it will sag. So it doesn't close off as well. So anything that we do to re-support that urethra, to reestablish that support, can actually take care and cure the stress incontinence. Again, anything from exercises to doing a simple outpatient procedure where we put a little hammock under the urethra.
So, okay, how do you diagnose which type that it is? If someone comes to you at Mission Hospital and wants a diagnosis, they say that this is happening on more than a regular basis, it's something that is embarrassing to them and keeping them from even necessarily going out and enjoying themselves, no comedy clubs, no nothing like that. So what would you do to determine what's going on for them?
Well, the most important thing is the history. In other words, the story that the patient tells about the problem. And it's important to note that many women have both types of urinary leakage. So it's very important to define which types they have and how much of each, because the treatments are different. So the stress urinary incontinence, it's not an anxiety type of stress, but it's a stress on the bladder. In other words, an increase in abdominal pressure. So if they leak urine, if they have a spurt of urine with coughing, laughing, sneezing, running, standing up, sometimes as easy as just moving around in a chair, then that's stress incontinence. And, you know, we talked a little bit about how to take care of that. The urgency incontinence, on the other hand, the history is of the woman not being able to make it to the bathroom in time. Or sometimes there's what we call silent urgency incontinence. They don't do anything. They can just be standing or sitting there. And this is really the most devastating type of urinary leakage, where someone may be a grandmother and a granddaughter together with her, and she's worried about leaking, where the urine may just come out spontaneously without any warning whatsoever. And so that will keep people secluded from contact with even family members.
So now, how would urge incontinence be treated? Before we get into any surgeries that might be required, are there behavioral treatments? Are there medications? What else? What can be done?
Absolutely. Of course, we want to start with conservative measures first. So the Kegel exercises that we talked about, not only do they work for stress incontinence to help strengthen the sphincter, but interestingly, they also work for urgency incontinence. In other words, if you have a strong pelvic muscle, when you contract that muscle, it quiets the bladder down. There's a feedback. So you may remember when you were a child and you were in the playground and you needed to go to the bathroom, you kind of squeezed your legs together and squeezed down there, and the feeling might pass. So we teach patients to do Kegel exercises. If they have difficulty doing it on their own, biofeedback can be instituted with the help of a physical therapist. And here at Mission Hospital, we have excellent physical therapists. If that doesn't work, we tend to go to medication, and the medications will calm the bladder down. The problem with the medications, and you may have seen them on commercials on TV, is that they're general medications. In other words, they do not work specifically only on the bladder. They work in other parts of the body. So not only do they calm the bladder down, they also calm the intestines down. So patients can have side effects of constipation, or they calm the salivary glands down so that they have dry mouth, dry eyes, things like that. So we have to be careful, especially in the elderly population, because these medications can also cause some dizziness and problems with what we call mentation, thinking. So there are a number of different medications. If those medications don't work, then we start looking at a little bit more invasive therapies. But some of these therapies can actually be done in the office, where you can actually stimulate the nerves indirectly to the bladder. Even at the level down at the foot, you can stimulate the nerves that crosstalk with the nerves in the bladder, and you can kind of reset the nerves to the bladder. If that doesn't work, then we'll start talking about more in the surgical realm, going into the operating room.
So what would be involved? We only have about a minute and a half left. What would be involved in surgery for urinary incontinence?
Okay, for stress incontinence, generally we use what's called a sling. That's generally a 15-minute to 30-minute procedure that's done as an outpatient in a surgery center or at the hospital. For the urgency incontinence, there we actually can do implants to actually stimulate the nerves with electrical pulses, and it can actually calm the bladder down. These are implants like a pacemaker that's put into the body.
That is amazing. So if people listening have this issue, it is not something to be embarrassed about. It's something that you can get treatment for. There's medication available. You can see Dr. Benderev at Mission Hospital. He'll explain your options to you, whether that they're Kegel exercise, behavioral training, and or if you would possibly need surgery. Thank you so much to Dr. Ted Benderev. You're listening to Mission Radio. For more information on urinary incontinence, you can go to missionforhealth.com. That's mission, the number, forhealth.com. This is Melanie Cole for Mission Radio. Thanks so much for listening.